Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Good. Saturday. Cold. Oh, my God. It's cold outside this morning, isn't it? We just went from, like, summer to winter overnight. Because this week it was, like, 27 degrees, and now it's cold, and now it feels like winter. And it was supposed to snow yesterday, and now it's going to snow, supposedly, on Tuesday. So forget about fall, forget about leaves changing color, any of that kind of stuff. We are welcome, people. Welcome into what we like to call winter New York style 2019. As we are less than 3 weeks away from Thanksgiving, as we are about 6 weeks away from Christmas. Thanksgiving late this year, by the way. Thanksgiving weekend actually turns to December. So I was all ready to go. 800-919-3776, by the way. All ready to go. All locked and loaded. And we would, you know, get heavy into the football game for tomorrow. I figure we'd break it down, we'd get involved, we'd do what we do, right? Evan Engram not going to play. Looks like Lev Bell is questionable. Chris Herndon seems like he's going to play. The 2-7 Giants, the 1-7 Jets, and we'd spend a lot of time, you know, breaking down not just the game, but the feeling of both teams and the Jets and the Giants. And even though they are just, I mean, there's very little positive to say about either team right now. I think less positive to say about the Jets than about the Giants, if that's actually humanly possible. Like, there are some Giants fans who are, you know, on the fence about Pat Shurmur. Some can't stand him. I'm not a fan from what I've seen so far. Some can't stand him. Some are okay. I don't know anybody that's like, yeah, Shurmur, he's my guy. But the Jets, I think almost to every single Jets fan, it's like, I can't watch this guy anymore. I mean, if you look at the history of what the Jets have been as an organization, you want to say rock bottom. I mean, this is as bad as it's ever been. You say Rich Kotite's got to be involved in that. Yeah, involve Rich Kotite in that conversation. But let's be fair. It doesn't get worse than this. It doesn't. With the expectations for what they were, with us thinking that this was going to be a team that competed for a wild card spot, and stop with the excuses. Like, you can't call and say, well, Dave, the reason is because Darnold and he's not out. Stop it. You can't use it. You can't use that as an excuse for so many different reasons. First of all, Darnold's been here. And if you're going to beat up Darnold and say how awful he has not been good and he has regressed, and everyone would kid you if they wouldn't tell you the truth right now. Because that's the truth, is he's taken a huge step back this year. But he had a good half against Dallas. But look at what the Jets are, and look at what they've turned themselves into. And now you can't play Monday morning quarterback and say, well, but guys, look at the talent is not there. Nobody said that. Nobody said that at the end of training camp heading into this season. I didn't hear one person say, you know, I don't know about the Jets talent-wise. I don't know about this offensive line. In fact, just the opposite. The offensive line is so much better with Darnold and Robbie Anderson and Jamison Crowder and Chris Herndon, who was suspended and then injured after that. And you added a dynamic running back in Lev Bell. I mean, this offense is going to click. And if you say, well, Dave, come on, that's not fair. 3 weeks ago, the quarterback of this offense said they're the tight end away from being, his words, not mine, unstoppable. So we will get into the Giants. We'll get into, and Giants are not much better, by the way, at all. I mean, it's every year that you have to, you know, start to get to the point where like, all right, 1-6, okay, well, maybe we can salvage something in the second half of the season. Because by the time you get to Thanksgiving, seemingly every season now, the Giants are done. Done. What do we have in Daniel Jones now? What could Eli Manning rebound to do? How could they figure out a way to get Beckham involved? Right? That's what it's been. But again, this year, done. And I saw something this week, just to make matters worse, the Giants have had the fourth easiest schedule in the NFL so far this season. Fourth. Their defense is not even an NFL caliber defense, so we will get into it. But I'm watching the Knicks last night. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, hello. Like, you forget what it's like to watch the Knicks and at least just for a minute lose yourself in a functional, capable basketball team. And I had an epiphany last night. Now, I don't know if it's to the point that, you know, it goes down in the annals of scripture level epiphany, but an epiphany nonetheless. Frank Ntilikina has to play 30 minutes a night. There's no two ways about this here at this point. I don't know if he's good. I don't know if he's mediocre. I don't know if he's bad. But what I know is that I saw something last night, and I haven't seen a ton of it this year, but I saw something last night, and I've seen little glimpses this year that shows me that maybe, just maybe, Frank Ntilikina can be a starting point guard in this league. Dennis Smith Jr., yeah, no thank you. Elfrid Payton, thanks, no thanks. Frank Ntilikina, odds are no. But you know what? He's young. He defends. He's long. And last night he was very, very good. So we talk about this all the time with our teams, right? The Knicks are a bad basketball team. So if they win 25 games or 29 games or 19 games, they are not sniffing the postseason. So for my money, I want to see Ntilikina every single night. Every single night as my starting point guard. And not if he has a bad 3 minutes, get him out of there. If he makes a dumb play, ride the pine. I don't want that. I want Ntilikina every single night. 30 plus minutes. Because why not? I'm competing for nothing. I know what Elfrid Payton is. I know what Dennis Smith Jr. is. Maybe, just maybe, this kid has something to him. And if he doesn't, you know what? We tried. This is his third year now. We did everything to help him develop. You finish the year. He's not the answer. You move on. But maybe he is. And at a minimum, maybe he plays well enough that somebody looks at him and say, you know what? Backup point guard, second team, defensive lineup. Yeah, I'll take a shot on Frank Ntilikina. But that's the answer to me. And you want to say I'm a vindictive sports fan? You want to say I'm an angry sports fan? You want to say I'm a different kind of sports fan? I'd be lying to you if I told you that watching the Knicks go into Dallas and beat Kristaps Porzingis did not put an unbelievable smile on my face. Because this is a guy, and you can defend them all you want. Well, the Knicks are bad and the Knicks are losing. You know what? If you had him and R.J. Barrett, you'd be a much better team right now. You'd have two legitimate NBA players. Because I've seen enough of Julius Randle at this point to know. I know why he bounces around from team to team to team. And can you, for the love of God, stop dribbling the basketball? Really, I don't know who I have to talk to about that. I do not need to see Julius Randle between the legs, trying to back a guy down, beat a double team, never pass the ball. I've seen enough of that. But to watch Porzingis lose, the guy that forced his way out of New York, who didn't want to be here, who gave the Knicks more trouble than he was worth, whose brother was a perpetual baby year after year after year. To watch that last night, because you know, and he was good, and God, is Doncic good, but you know how desperately he wanted to put a huge beat down on the Knicks. And he'll get a chance next week at the Garden to do it, but for one night, and oh my God, the Knicks are terrible, and still you watch them, and it gives you enjoyment when they look like a legitimate NBA team. But my epiphany again, and I don't think I'm breaking any ground, this is like not some huge epiphany. Although I think by definition, epiphany is huge, so maybe it is. You got to play Frank 30 minutes a game. You have to. I mean, tomorrow night, MSG, I can't have 11. Well, he came out and he picked up two fouls and he lost the rhythm and this guy was playing better. No. 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 Frank Ntilikina, as a mandate, has to play 30 minutes a game. Game, set, match. All right, so 800-919-3776, freezing cold outside. We'll warm you up today. So we have a, oh, talk about a good day. And this is what we do. It's every Saturday. It's not any special Saturday, but every Saturday is special. 9:45 will give you the frenzy. All the bells and whistles. 10:30, Stump Rothenberg. All the bells and whistles. That has been very good of late, by the way. 11 o'clock, RJ Bell. Out to Vegas we go. Huge, huge football Saturday in college football. Big time stars in college sports. No, you're not playing. Chase Young, I was just reading something about Chase Young. He's not playing today against Maryland for Ohio State, where he borrowed money to fly. I think it was his girlfriend. Borrowed money to fly his girlfriend out to a bowl game. Paid the money back and is now not allowed to play in this game. And we'll see what the deal is moving forward. So you might not see him again, which for his sake might be in his best interest, although, of course, he wants to be able to play with his guys. And secondly, and Knicks fans, you should pay attention to this kid. You better watch him sooner rather than later, because I don't know how long he's going to be allowed to play. James Wiseman, kid from Memphis. I guess Penny Hardaway either gave him or helped him or lent him money, his family money, to be able to move from house to house. NCAA found out about that. Boom. You're done. Now, they challenged it. They went to a court judge last night, and I guess they got a stay where he was allowed to at least play last night. But I don't know how much you're going to see him from Memphis this year either. So the guys that you want to see, you can't even see. And because of what? They committed these heinous crimes? Stop it. To borrow money? If you're a college student and you're going on spring break, and your girlfriend can't go, and you say to your parents, your uncle, your friend, or the barber, whoever it is, hey, can I borrow $2,000 so she can go with me and I'll pay you back in April? And you do that. You've done nothing illegal. The NCAA is such an absolute joke.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
We are the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
How great is that? Rothenberg with you on a Saturday morning. You know, every other day you'd hear that and just be like, turn it off. I can't stomach that. But today's the one day you can hear him be like, yeah, that's right. They were the New York Knicks. And Marcus Morris was really good last night. Really good. And so was Nil Aquina, which went back to my opening monologue or statement or epiphany or whatever you want to call it. And that is Nil Aquina needs to play. All right, time again for the nation's elite college basketball programs to square off. Under the lights, the bright lights of New York City, the games begin November 21st and 22nd in Madison Square Garden as Duke, Georgetown, Texas, and Cal tip off their seasons in the 2K Empire Classic benefiting Wounded Warrior Project, then heads to the Barclays Center on the 25th and 26th to see Wisconsin, Final Four participant Auburn and Bruce Pearl, Richmond, and New Mexico as they face off in the Roman Legends Classic presented by Old Trapper. Tickets for both events can be purchased through Ticketmaster.com. And for your chance to win a pair of tickets, text the keyword HOOPS, that's H-O-O-P-S, to 44202. That's HOOPS to 44202. Now, Kyrie running things today, right? You've taken Ty's slot and you've run with it beautifully so far. So good morning to Kai. How are you?
Good morning. And yes, the irreplaceable Ty is not here, but I'm doing my best.
Irreplaceable, I don't know. I think by the end of the show, to be quite frank, people will probably forget about him. I mean, we like Ty, not a bad kid, but I think you have it in you to move right past him in one day.
Although I appreciate it, I don't know if I like what we're doing here.
Well, I think he's not listening, and I think there's no reason to not. So that's what we'll do. I mean, I'm always looking for a guy, and Ty was my guy. But if you notice, like, two out of the last 3 weeks, he's had some mysterious other thing to do on Saturday mornings. Who doesn't? You. So you might be the new guy.
And it's true.
So, all right. But here's what, just because you and I are in the beginning stages of our relationship. And do you know what college basketball team I root for?
I do not, but I want to say St. Joe's.
No, you'd be completely wrong.
Excuse me, St. John's.
You'd also be completely wrong. Now, if you thought about St. John's rival, you might go there. St. John's rival.
Ooh, stump Kyrie.
That's stump. That's like I'm asking how many fingers you have. Who, if I said to you, who is St. John's biggest two rivals? It's probably in those two. And giving the read I just did. No, maybe you're not my guy. Georgetown.
I was going to say Georgetown.
Well, I mean, my God, when were you going to say it?
Just now. You just stepped on me.
I gave you many seconds to answer, so Georgetown is my team. Now I just do this.
I was just baffled because you're such a New York guy, and I don't understand where this Washington, D.C.
You know what? See, this is good. This is going to bond us and bring us closer together today. 9 years old, turn on the TV, this 7-foot center who's dominating like I've never seen before name of?
Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing is a freshman at Georgetown. Completely fell in love. It's the equivalent of if I'm at the beach, look up, Selma Hayek is just there. And I had this moment. Now, as a 9-year-old boy, that's the equivalent. This basketball player is bigger than life. And I was like, wow, he's unbelievable. Love the way they played. Fell in love with Georgetown. Not a bandwagon, as you know. Love Georgetown ever since.
You know what? And then the fact that he came to the Knicks, I can – further appreciate the story.
I'm not exaggerating. One of the great, probably one of the top 15 moments of my life when they won that draft lottery and he came to the Knicks. But here's the thing, and this goes back to what I wanted to bring up to you, the new tie, Kai. Georgetown at the Garden, playing Duke. Everyone knows I'm a Georgetown fan. You're just learning this now, but you're new to the station. Everyone else knows this. You think I've been offered tickets to the game? Dave, we'd love for you to go and be able to watch your beloved Hoyas.
Oh, man.
No.
Wow.
No. So I'm just putting that out there. And if you're truly my guy, you'll probably I know you will do something to get that done in the not so distant future. All right, 800-919-3776. It's nice because now you learn about me. If you didn't know, you're tuning in, you're like, boy, this guy's terrific. Who does he root for in college basketball? Boom. And now you know the genesis of it. And just to bring you behind the curtain a little more, Kyrie. Why do I detest Michael Jordan, you want to know, right? Why do I just, I mean, cannot stand him? Because he hit that shot against Georgetown in 82. And my best friend at the time, and you know this is a big deal, best friend at the time was a huge North Carolina fan. Actually went moving down to Chapel Hill just to be near, like, the football and basketball program. Still lives there now.
Jeez.
And I go out to the bus stop, and I'm 9 years old. He taunts me mercilessly. So Jordan hits the shot. Fred Brown throws it away. Georgetown loses 63-62. And I have to be mercilessly tortured from that moment on. So, you know.
Just the beginning of Michael's torture of your team.
And then he went, see, now you're with me. And then he goes to Chicago and tortured my Knicks year after year after year. I wouldn't be surprised if Patrick Ewing has like a voodoo doll of Michael Jordan. And he just stabs it every single night. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's get to some of these calls. Coop in Brooklyn. Coop, lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Coop. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm just a little discouraged about my Jets and the Giants, and I think that they should have put two banners on that plane yesterday, and they should have put Gettleman's name on the back of that, too, because we got nothing. I mean, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, all we got is a bunch of excuses, even from the Knicks owners. A bunch of excuses. We got no results. And we won the number one city in the world almost, just like L.A., right? L.A. got the best teams now. You know, they got good managers, good owners that care about the players and know how to deal with it. Us, I don't understand this. Year after year after year, it's just a disappointment. And when are we going to say enough is enough? When are you going to get somebody that knows what they're actually doing?
I mean, I don't have the answer for you. I'm sitting here watching this revolving door of forget about mediocrity, revolving door of awful just year after year after year. But you'd hope, and again, I don't have the magical answer for you. You'd hope that R.J. Barrett is legitimate. You'd hope that they're going to draft well. You'd hope that they have the right foundation in place now. But I'm not going to tell you that they do because I don't know. And it stinks, and I appreciate the phone call. I mean, it's hard to be a fan of these teams. You know, I'm fine with rebuilding. Fine with it. You say, you know what? We're bad now. Give us 3 years. We'll be a team that's going to the postseason every single year. But, I mean, look at what the Knicks, they've been awful forever. The Jets have been bad for a decade. The Giants have gone to one postseason since they last won the Super Bowl. Of those four teams, the Mets are the ones you're like, well, at least they've gone to the postseason. They had a World Series run a couple years ago, went to the wild card game even more recently than that. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Bill in Queens. Bill, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I found your conversation yesterday as a father very interesting in terms of talking about Saquon Barkley and his father.
So you're going to beat me up. That's what you're going to do.
No, I'm not going to beat you up. I guess I want to, because I respect you, and everybody's entitled, you know.
So you're so intrigued by my lunacy that you want to do a deeper dive?
Because I think as a father, your wife can come and go. People fall out of love all the time. So, but your kids will.
No, Bill. No, I'm gonna take umbrage with that right off the bat. My wife is one in a trillion. She's and I'm not exaggerating. The best thing that's ever happened to me. She's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
So, no, I'm not kidding you. I would be so lost. You know how functional and wonderful I am now. If she were to leave, I would be completely lost.
No, what I'm saying is you could choose your Giants over your wife.
But no, she would say differently. But no, I mean, when push comes to shove, she would always win that battle. She's the best.
Right, but I think in the end, if your kid played for an opposing team, you know, you may not be happy about it, but in your heart, you want your kid to succeed.
Of course.
So,
but I just don't want the Cowboys to win.
I would agree.
I can't stomach it now.
I cheer for the Giants and anybody playing the Cowboys.
I'm not exaggerating with you. Watching the Cowboys game and watching the Cowboys lose gives me such great enjoyment. And nowadays, where we have so little to be excited about, watching Dak Prescott throw these interceptions and look the way I know he is, and the Cowboys lose these big games is so enjoyable and entertaining.
It's like Christmas morning.
It's the best.
Yes. That's all. As a dad to dad, I think that in your heart, you'd always want your kid to.
Well, I don't think I'm going to be, you know, put into this position. And thanks for the call, Bill. I don't envision either of my kids, and they're good athletes, both of them. You can take it from their mother, but I don't envision either of them being the quarterback for the Cowboys or the Eagles or the Redskins or any of these teams. If they are, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I don't see that happening. But honestly, I cannot root for those teams. I just can't. Let's go to James in Spring Valley. James, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. It's been a rough sports scene, but I got to ask about Frank. I've been down on Frank a lot, and we all have, but lately he's been showing signs. Could he be starting to show signs that maybe the Knicks could get it right, because he's been playing well these last few weeks. He's been getting confidence. He's playing great defense. His offense is slowly coming to show. So could this be a sign that Frank has finally turned the corner?
All right. I'll say this, James. If you said you got to put all your money on Frank is going to be a real point guard for a decade or not, I'd put it on he won't be. But I will tell you this. I mean, I'm being honest with you, James. I've really liked what I've seen in bits and pieces, and specifically last night this season. So let's see. Let's see if maybe I'm wrong. Let's see if maybe all the pundits who said, oh my God, this guy cannot handle New York and he's not a legitimate point guard and he can't do it are wrong. And maybe they are. Maybe we are. Thanks for the call. Look, he's an international kid. Has to make the adjustment to the NBA. Still very young. So, is there a chance that switch gets flipped and all of a sudden he's a legit point guard? Absolutely. My point is, let's find out. Let's not have the question at the end of the year of, I wonder what he could be if you played him 30 minutes a night. That's why this is exactly what this team should be doing. Playing him 30 minutes a night, because let's be frank. See what I did there? You stink. You're going to win 26 games this year. So if that's what's going to happen, then for the love of God, play him.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 888-729-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
All right, away we go on a Saturday, frenzy style. Steve in Oak Ridge, you're on the frenzy, Steve.
You've given me three winners in a row, knockout fool this week, Saints or Ravens.
I'm alive as well. I think you win with both. I would say take the Saints. I think you can include the Colts in that conversation as well. But I would say the Saints over the Ravens. Maybe he's used the Colts. If not, the Colts are a good one as well. Hef in Jersey. Hef, you're on the Frenzy.
If the Steelers can beat the Rams tomorrow, do you think with the remaining schedule they could go 9-7, maybe 10-6?
I don't believe in the quarterback, but if they win tomorrow and go above 500, I guess you'd have to give them a puncher's chance. 800-919-3776. Matt, Long Island. Matt, you're on the Frenzy.
Who has a better career, Chris Herndon or Evan Ingram?
If he's healthy, I think it's Evan Ingram by a long shot. And it should be. I mean, he's a first-round pick, for God's sakes. But he's disappointed in his time in the NFL. He should be one of the, you should look at him and say, boy, that's an elite tight end. And I don't feel like that. And he's a matchup nightmare. Floyd in Connecticut. Floyd, you're on the Frenzy.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
That's right. I mean, I need a buzzer, a hang up. And Kai, good job by you. Whatever the cardinal sins are of the Frenzy, he just committed all of them. Right? We're going to take a quick moment just to tutor everyone. There's no, hey, Dave, big fan of the show. How are you? Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Kai is none of it. It's get right to it. Get right to it.
There's always one.
Well, there we go. But now we gave the tutorial, and now you would hope that you won't have another one. You know, it's like the Seinfeld episode with the soup Nazi. You get in, you stick to the wall. When you address him, you tell him exactly what you want. No, like, hey, how you doing? Not like what Elaine did. Right? When she's like, oh, the mulligatawny, she's pounding on the counter. You don't want any of that. Right to the point. Mike Newark, Frenzy, go.
I want to know what percent chance you give of Adam Gase getting a second year with the Jets.
50. I think there's a good chance that Adam Gase is back for yet another season. I'm not saying I agree with it, but remember, the owner completely fell head over heels in love with this guy. What teams do you think are going to be NFC wildcard teams right now? I think either the Rams or the Seahawks and the Vikings are going to be your wild card teams right now. Joey in Freehold. Joe, you're on the Frenzy.
Who's going to have the higher draft pick this year, the Jets or the Giants?
You know, everyone seems to think the Jets are going to go 1-15 or 2-14. I'm not so quick to think that that's the case, because look at, they have games that are so imminently winnable. I know the Jets stink right now. I'm not defending them. But you play the Giants. You play the Dolphins. And I know you lost them, but at least you get them in MetLife. You play the Redskins. You play the Bengals. Would you be stunned if the Jets got 5 wins on the year? So I don't think this is such a foregone conclusion that the Jets are going to wind up with the 2nd pick and the Giants are going to wind up with the 7th pick, like everyone seems to. Joe at Holbrook. Joe, you're on the Frenzy.
Should the Patriots go for Dez Bryant?
No. They went for Antonio Brown. It didn't work out. Obviously, they needed someone. They bring in Mohamed Sanu. No, Dez Bryant is done. I'm not going to say never plays again, but the Patriots are not going to sink to the depths of bringing him in. Tommy in Babylon. Tom, you're on the Frenzy.
Do you think that the Cincinnati Bengals or the Miami Dolphins will get the number one pick? And if the Bengals do get the number one pick, will they draft Joe Burrow or Tua?
I don't know who they'll take. I think those guys are neck and neck right now, but I do think that the number one pick goes through Cincinnati. Yeah. All right, so there you have it. That's a nice little Frenzy we put together. You can blow that one dead. There you go.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, you can see if you can. It's not done often. It does happen, but not all that often. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of, I mean, you talk about law offices. Everything else pales in comparison to the law offices of one Andrew M. Cohen. Now, Kyrie, you've screened these potential questioners today, yes?
I screened one, but all the credit goes to Nikki here, who has
the credit
done a great job.
Or the blame.
Well, she's done a phenomenal job, so I'm sure there's going to be no blame.
And I would agree with that as well. But before we just anoint her the second coming, let's see what these questions are like, yes?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. So you have screened one. Which one have you screened?
I'm not going to say. I'm not going to give you any.
No, I mean, let's be honest. Here. Let's call you out on the carpet. Maybe we'll start with yours and see how it goes.
No, don't start with mine because mine is still being formulated. So that would be a disaster.
So the one that you did, you're not in love with. All right. So we'll see now. We'll see if you're better or she, in fact, is better. Are you participating today?
I intend to participate. Yes.
Easier said than done. All right. The anticipation is palpable. Let's go. 800-919-3776. One question, one answer. We're not, spending 37 minutes on one question. We're going to get right to it. You ask it, I answer it. We'll see how we do. John Queens, Stump Rothenberg, a go.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing today?
Good, John. What's going on?
Okay.
Where are we going?
Okay, this is a baseball question.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Okay, so similar to the Trey Turner play in the last series where he was called out for interference when he ran down first base and was hit by the ball.
Yeah.
The 1969 Mets won Game 4 when their player bunted with a man on second, was running inside the baseline, was hit by the thrown ball, was not called out, and the winning run scored. And as a result of that, baseball actually added that running lane on first base the next year. Who was the Mets player?
Was it Bud Harrelson?
No.
Hmm. Was it J.C.? So J.C. Martin bunted it, though. You're one who scored it, right?
No, I asked who bunted it.
All right. Well, I got it wrong already, but J.C. Martin, I think, is...
It was J.C. Martin, and Rod Gaspar was the guy who scored.
All right. Well, I'm 0 for 1, because this is what we do. It's an honest approach to Stump Rothenberg. One question, one answer. Patrick, Long Island. Patrick, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. All right. I got a president question for you.
President question.
With Thanksgiving coming around, which president invented the holiday Thanksgiving?
What president invented it?
Or started the holiday?
All right. So let's... So made it a national holiday, really, is what you want to know.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking it's Lincoln. But I want to walk through here before I give my final answer to you. Because it wasn't as early on as you might think. It was after, it was after the early run of the Jefferson. I think it was Lincoln. I'm going to go with... See, this is what I do. I get others in my head, and then but I'm going to say it was Lincoln.
That is correct.
Okay. I thought it was, and then I was second-guessing myself. But you know what I've done, Kai, lately, is when I start to second-guess myself, I talk myself out of the correct answer. So my first thought is where I really have to go.
Yeah, go with your gut. But I love your process, though. You workshop it well.
Rusty,
I thought it was FDR.
No. What?
I don't know.
FDR?
I don't know. I'm crazy.
You thought the holiday was like only 100 years old?
Well, hey, man. I might have read that somewhere, maybe a Snapple fact.
Less. I mean,
whatever.
FDR was oh, that's a terrible idea.
That's why this is Stump Rothenberg.
Yeah, that's true. It's not Stump Kai. Let's go to Rusty in Ridgewood. Rusty, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Good. What's going on, Rusty?
Everything is okay. I'm here with my granddaughter. She likes when I call you.
She does.
Say hi, Shyla.
Hi.
Hi, Shyla. How are you?
Good.
Good. You have a question, or does your granddad have
my
a question?
My question is about the Yankees.
Oh,
in 1977, when Reggie Jackson signed with the Yankees, he requested a certain number, and that certain number was worn by another player, and that player refused to give it to him. Who was the other player, and what was the number?
Singular question. He wanted the number for Greg Nettles, I believe. No.
There you go. You good.
He did it? Is that right?
That's right. Number 9.
Yeah, he wanted Greg Nettles' number. He also, I think, wanted 42, which was obviously kind of frowned upon because of Jackie Robinson. All right, very nice. Here we go. Moving right along. Let's go to Kevin in Lyndhurst. Kevin, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
What's up, Kevin? I'm 2-1. I can go 3-1 if I get yours right.
It's Evan, actually, not Kevin. But
all right. But how's your question? What direction are you going?
U.S. presidents.
Okay.
Again. So before President Donald Trump, who was the last president of the United States who was not ever previously elected to any kind of office?
Hmm. All right, so let's think here now. So Trump is obviously, I mean, George Washington, that's not going to be the last one. Tyler. Was it Garfield?
Incorrect.
No, what's the answer?
The answer was Eisenhower. He was a general.
Okay. All right. I should have known that. That's a bad job. I mean, that's a nice question. See, sometimes I can admit defeat, and that's what happened there. 2-2. All right, let's go to Dion in Queens. Dion, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hello, Dave. I have a question. It's military / MBA.
Okay. I don't know how you combine those two, but have at it.
Which NBA coach and player both served in the military and both won a championship together on the same team?
So, hang on. Give me this question again.
Which NBA coach and player both served in the military, not at the same time?
All right. So, I understand. So, David Robinson is obviously the greatest player to ever, you know, play for a military academy. So, I'm going to go with Robinson and Popovich.
Excellent.
Let me hear the next one. There we go. All right, so now we're 3-2, above 500. Let's go to Dylan in Westchester. Dylan, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
What's up, Dylan? How are you, man?
I'm doing good, but the Jets suck. I'm not doing that great. But
yeah, I understand.
Four presidents that had the same first initial and last initial. So, like, Alfred Anderson, for example.
Wait, give me this again.
Four presidents who have the same first initial and the same last initial. So, like, if your name was Alfred Anderson, A.A.,
oh, first presence is supposed to be one answer here. I don't think I'm going to know this. So four presidents have had the same first initial and last initial.
Yes, sir.
Now this is supposed to be just one answer here. So, but I mean, this is going to take me, and this is why we try to avoid this. So Woodrow Wilson.
Yes, that's one.
Coolidge.
That's two.
And I don't like that. Four is too many. And Reagan.
That's three. You got the two hardest ones. The other one's pretty easy.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who it is.
The dam in Arizona. I think it's dammed after him.
Oh, Herbert Hoover.
There you go, sir.
All right. But wait, you gave it to me. It felt very unsatisfying.
Yeah, I have to give it to you. That was hard, but
but you can't ask four-part questions, right? We've determined that is not the way we're playing this game. All right, let's go. Gerard in Brooklyn. You're on Stump Rothenberg, Gerard.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
What's up, Gerard? You have a singular question with one answer, right?
Yeah. This may be an assist. I don't know, but it's an NBA question.
All right.
Which player won the which NBA player was the first player to win the Sixth Man of the Year award?
Oh, that's not a bad question. So the NBA player to win the first Sixth Man of the Year.
That's right. I just
So now we got to figure out when that was first launched. That's not an award that's been around forever. Is Bobby Jones the answer?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Good job.
All right. Because that award, he probably won it in the early 80s. It's not like that award has been around forever. All right, Kai, what are you thinking? You think we're done? You think we're going to go more?
No. I think Nikki has a question for you, but I think
Really?
I think it's time to go there.
Now, here's the thing, Nikki. You've never played before. So this is really quite a moment for you.
Yeah, I figured I could at least try, right?
Okay. You're sure you're ready for this?
I mean, I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be, Dave.
Okay, so go ahead. With both feet, jump on in.
All right, so two athletes.
You do realize if the question is horrendous, I'm going to have to beat you up for it.
I mean, that's only fair.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
So only two athletes have won Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year, right? Mm-hmm. Who is the first one?
Wait.
Oh, they have only won it twice, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say only two athletes have
I'm
won.
I'm all nervous.
Are you nervous?
Well, on the one hand, I really want to stump you. But on the other hand, I don't want to get beat up. So it's like, ah.
All right. So who has won it twice? So I know Roger Bannister was the first one to ever win it. I wonder if Ali. Gretzky, I know, won it. Arthur Ashe won it. Tiger Woods, I think, has won it multiple times. But you want to know the first one to win it multiple times. There's a lot of stress here. I'm going to say Tiger Woods.
Ah, you got it.
Just for my own edification, is LeBron the other one to win it multiple times?
Correct.
Oh, there we go. I mean, Kai, play it again. I mean, that was... And by the way, to give you full props, that was a nice question.
Thank you very much.
Now, how did you... Did you just Google that, or did you know that, and you wanted to ask it? What was the background to
it? Well, I'd only ever worked your show one other time.
Right.
And so I figured if I'm coming in, I need to be ready. So I was kind of thinking about this all week.
So you spent some real quality time away from work coming up with the question. Right?
I'm, like, seriously dedicated to the quality of your show, Dave.
I have never cared for you more than I do at this moment. Now, I just met you, like, 10 minutes ago, but this moment right now, the highest you've ever been in my book.
I mean, so, we're only going to go up from here. This is great.
I have a feeling that's the case. All right, let's get back to the, I guess we have to, the Jets and the Giants. RJ Bell, 11 o'clock. So, at 11 o'clock, I'll pretty much stop talking. We'll hand the baton over to him because he is, he can talk a lot. But we'll get back to the Jets and the Giants and your calls. 800-919-3776. Kai, you would say that was a successful version of Stump Rothenberg, no?
I would say so, yeah. The double, you know, the first name, last name, initial president question was, you know, kind of excessive, but I'm very happy that you
like, I did
got through that.
Very, very well.
Yeah, very well.
And you guys, and to your credit, you did a nice job screening the calls. There was no questions that were just horrendous. The one with the four initials was not great because it's just too much, but for the most part, you guys did a really, really good job.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Well within my comfort zone now. The RJ Bell Hour on the Dave Rothenberg Show, 98.7 ESPN, powered by Sportsbook 360 at Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort. Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort has a new way to play at Sportsbook 360, now open 7 days a week. Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort. Playtime elevated gambling problem. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Must be 21 or over to gamble. All right, here's what we're going to do, RJ. And I know you can be very long-winded and sidetracked, so I'm going to keep you focused here. We're going to take two calls, 11 words or less, and then get right back into quickly analyzing the football games tomorrow. Yes?
You know who you remind me of? Is Pig Virus from the Howard Stern movie.
That's Pig Vomit.
Well, his real name was Pig Virus, but the movie said Vomit. I thought Virus would be easier on the ears. Like, Vomit, kind of gross. But here's the thing. Because what they did was they changed the name in the movie. It's a guy who's got like a paint-by-numbers approach to things. And then when someone comes in and just turns over the table and says, let's do it different, he's like trying to put the table back to where it was.
Well,
it's not going to work, Dave. It's not going to work.
You can call me any names you'd like. I'm trying to run the show appropriately and what the people want.
I didn't say you were that name. I said you're like that person.
Oh, okay. Very, very nicely addressed. Let's go to Sal and Duchess. Sal, 11 words or less. Go ahead.
Total score, Monday night, and how about Colts for the suicide pool?
Ooh, interesting.
Two questions in 11 words.
Yeah, hey, listen, if you're concise, I love the way they're thinking. When you hear them in that staccato voice, the callers, you know they've thought about it.
Yeah, because they're counting their words as
exactly,
they go.
Exactly, and it makes me so happy.
All right, go ahead.
All right, Colts suicide pool. I'd actually say yes. Here's why. They're probably not going to be favored by more than this, you wouldn't think, and that's always a consideration, right? Is there a better chance to use this team later? And number two, they're probably going to play a conservative game plan. And if you're a big favorite, I don't want to lay that big number, But if all you got to do is win, mm-hmm. I want the team to be conservative. I want a lower variance game. Just like if you're a big underdog in college basketball, for example, you want to shoot a lot of threes because you might get lucky and you need a high variance game.
Total Monday night.
Oh, I don't know. He wants me to give points?
I guess I like the over-under?
I like the over, yeah. Here's why. I think the 49ers, because it was my second best pick on the show earlier we did, and the best pick's coming up in a few, right here. ESPN New York.
Beautiful tease. Oh, look at your station.
And to me, my main concern about the San Fran pick, my pick, is Russell Wilson doesn't give up. There's certain quarterbacks, they get down 21, they do. Wilson doesn't. And thus, if he keeps coming back, there's a chance backdoor on the side, but it really increases the chance the game goes over.
Kelly Orlando. Look at us. Down to Florida we go. You're on 11 words or less.
Sorry. RJ, show me a way to bet a little to win a lot. Thank you.
That used to be Tom Looney was a guy I used to work with, and he always said, that was his favorite line. I want to bet a little to win a lot. Here's what you need to know. Betting a little to win a lot is why the lottery is the biggest ripoff in gambling. And it is gambling. And think about how bad a lottery is. You put up a dollar, and you're thinking, RJ, put up a dollar, you can win millions. Yeah, that's why they're able to get you so many different ways. They hold half the money for themselves. So let's say there's, keep it round number, there's $100 million in the pool. They take their 50 and say, thanks for playing, everybody. Then they say, okay, you know the 50, we're going to pay it out. But if you want all the money at once, we got all the money, but if you want it, we're going to discount you out the wazoo, or we'll kind of give it to you a year at a time, right? And then let's say you take it all at once, right? So now what are you down to? Maybe $35 million at the time? Right. Okay. And then they say, oh, by the way, the same guy, he just changes his hat. He says, I'm the tax man. I'm going to take half of that. So literally the 100's down to what, 17? Forget state taxes. Okay. But no one complains. Have you ever heard anyone complain about the payoff?
Never.
Because it's bet a little, win a lot. Well, the bookmakers, the sports guys are the same. They realize if it's a 10-team parlay, bet a dollar to win whatever, you pay so much more vig than you do on a one-teamer. So in general, there is no way to bet a little to win a lot without paying a huge price when it comes to what your payoff is.
All right, let's move right along. 800-919-3776. Giants, Jets. Giants open up getting a point. Now they're giving three, so a four-point swing. I like the Jets. I don't know how you feel about this one.
Quick side topic. Has there ever, Dave, in your career at ESPN New York, been an outsider step in and have the effect I'm having on the station?
I think that would probably be unlikely.
Never.
No.
I'm one of one.
With some of the biggest names in the industry.
Exactly. I'm a unicorn, is what you're saying.
Oh, okay. You're the Kristaps Porzingis of sports talk.
Wow. All right. My question is this. We all know that. Some of us want to say, some of us don't. I do because I love the truth. It seems like you playing the role of being against me, and I know it's a role. Come on. You're texting all the time. You want to do a full, right. And it feels like it's hurting your brand. It feels like when I hit them with that bet a little, win a lot, they're thinking, I've never heard that in my life. It makes so much sense.
So I just run away from it.
You run away from it, and they're thinking, what's with Dave? Is it ego? Is it what?
No, I'll tell you. Let me bring you behind the curtain here. All right, no one likes to hear themselves talk more than you. I mean, you could go, like, I could go home now, and you could carry the rest of the show, and no one would even have any idea. And to try to keep you on point, I move along at a rapid pace. So you might look at it as disrespectful to you. I'm looking at it as staying on topic and moving the show forward.
Okay, I think that's a fair statement. What I'll say quickly and succinctly is this. The quickest way to get me to shut up is give proper credit.
Okay.
And then my job is done.
RJ, one of the great points I've ever heard on the show. Mind you, Giants, Jets, Giants giving three, started out as Giants getting one. Where do you like the action in this one?
We talked about in the building, and I'm going to ask you again because I've been asking it to everyone who has any connection to New York sports. There's a guy here in town, Steve Cofield, ESPN Vegas. He's been here for 20 plus years. Grew up in Jersey, really follows the New York sports. He's a Jets fan. No one has the answer. To what degree is Adam Gase and his travails, the trouble, the uncertainty, quite frankly, will be back? How much is the quarterback, the franchise quarterback, Sam Darnold, who could be at his own crossroads, How much is that affecting the preparation and eventually the execution in this game?
I have no idea. I mean, if I knew that, I would feel confident one way or the other. If I thought the Jets, because the Giants are going to play hard. The Giants stink, but I think they're going to play hard. I don't know what the Jets are going to do.
Exactly. And the only reason they wouldn't play hard is there's too much turmoil in the building, right?
Well, they don't trust the coach. They don't like the coach. I mean, talent-wise, they're not exactly there. The season is over. I mean, there's a...
But, yes, talent, but if your talent's not there, you have to play hard or not less hard.
Yeah, but they haven't done that all year.
Have they, though, or haven't they? I think the main mistake was, quite frankly, and I don't know how... I don't know anything about Gase behind the scenes other than the whispers you hear, so I'm not saying I know anything. But if he could have been honest, or maybe the someone other than the coach would have came out, you know, someone above, and saying, listen, here's what we know. There's a reason the third-string quarterback is third string. And you can say next man up all you want, but how many teams have a third-stringer that could be competent at quarterback? Most teams don't even carry a third-stringer.
Yeah, but their second-stringer looked awful. Their third
he looked awful
worse.
For how long?
From what I saw from Trevor
22
Siemian,
minutes?
He looked dreadful, but he looked terrible.
But Dave, you know enough to know the first quarter of a game, you can't. How much can you really know?
How does the first stringer look?
Well, that's the thing. Because I've been a... Would you agree in these 2 years now with you guys, I've been a real negative on...
Yes. Okay. 100%, yes.
And I would say, and the reason being, I thought there was too much love to start with. And that was what threw me off. I'm always kind of suspicious of that. But in this case, to me, what games have been really bad? The kind of games you'd point back to in 5 years if he ends up being a bust and say, that game should have told us something. Because if you look at the Patriots game, Belichick is Belichick. To some degree, you got to excuse that. There was one game, Miami, who's ended up looking pretty decent since.
Yeah, but they still stink.
But what other game has he played
bad?
He didn't
look so good against Jacksonville.
But what I'm saying is, if that was his worst game of the year, you wouldn't have said anything, right? It wasn't that bad. Buffalo wasn't that bad. And they're saying that first Buffalo game that he already had the kissing disease.
Yeah, totally agree.
So to some degree, what are the games we're so worried about? I'm worried that he's not doing really well yet. But to the same token, I don't think he's really doing poorly yet. And this could become a self-fulfilling prophecy, which if you believe it, you fulfill it by believing it, and it eventually happens, right? It's like if you think you're...
So where do you go here? Who do you like? Giants minus three.
Jeez, Dave, I could give you picks on a fax machine, right? This is... We're trying to understand why we might like something. If I had to bet this game...
Fax machine, huh?
Yes. If I had to bet this game, I'd play the Jets. I can't play the Jets because I don't know how much of a concern this is in the building, and it could be worth 10 points. Like, an injury to anyone but a quarterback at most is worth 1 point, 1.5, a couple times a year. This could be worth 10. So if you don't know the answer, I don't know how you bet it.
Unbelievable analysis, RJ. I'm glad we have you on the show as we do every Saturday.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.